Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. This Lent, as you know, we've been asking the question, who is Jesus? Hoping not so much for theological or doctrinal answers, the Son of God, the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, whether we know what that means or not, but rather, who is Jesus for us? How can we understand him better as part of our life? How might we better appreciate what Jesus can mean for our daily lives in the world? We've been doing that in a variety of ways. On Wednesdays, some of our pastors are sharing some of the images of Jesus that they've encountered in artwork that help them think about who Jesus is or isn't, if you happen to catch the video Pastor Dixon did last week. And if you haven't, do so. In our daily devotions, we've been exploring some of the names of Jesus found across the pages of Scripture. Names like Alpha and Omega, Prince of Peace, and more. And on Sundays, we've been listening to Jesus himself, exploring five of the images that Jesus uses to describe himself in the Gospel of John. These passages are often called the I Am passages, because Jesus begins each one of them with those words. I am the bread of life, we heard 2 weeks ago, and I am the light of the world, we heard last week. And this week we come to one of the most familiar and beloved images for Jesus in Scripture. As he says, I am the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. This image has been enshrined in our imaginations through countless artistic renderings, from stained glass windows to Italian frescoes, from Greek Orthodox icons to that folksy picture of Jesus carrying a sheep on his shoulders that hung in many of the Sunday school rooms that we grew up in. That image has become not just beloved, but classic, even iconic, something you can find almost anywhere. In fact, I recently stumbled upon a rather striking version of Jesus the Good Shepherd, done in black velvet and available on eBay for only $106.37 and soon shipping by UPS to my home. Just kidding. I was tempted, but I resisted. As beloved and as common as that image is, however, as classic and even iconic as it has become, as familiar and comforting and even sacred it feels to many, I have to admit it is not my favorite. In fact, it kind of bothers me. Actually, it's not so much portraying Jesus as the good shepherd that gets to me, but rather the unavoidable implication that we are sheep. To explain why this image bothers me, I want to first ask a simple question. How many of you have ever worked with sheep? Now, I'm not talking about encountering sheep in the petting zoo or walking through the sheep barn at the state fair. I mean worked with them, herded them, taking care of them. We have one, two, there were three of the first service, that's five. Actually, I make six. You see, when I was in college helping to pay my way through, I worked for a time at a factory where I would drive forklift at the very early and mid-morning shifts. And sometimes, if I had an afternoon free, I'd take an extra shift at the owner's sheep farm. And so I can tell you from firsthand experience that actual sheep bear very little resemblance to the fuzzy white critters that adorn so much of the artwork we were talking about, and look absolutely nothing like those cute plastic figurines that dot so many yards at Christmas time. Actual sheep, in case you didn't know, are dumb, stubborn, dirty, and smell really, really bad. They do not do what you say. They don't go where you want. They're hard to get to do pretty much anything, and so I kind of resent being compared to them. Except, that is, in those moments of absolute and rare candor where I can be completely honest. If you asked my wife, she'd be willing to tell you that I can be fairly stubborn at times. And while I hope I'm not that dirty or smelly, except maybe after a soccer match, I have done some pretty dumb things in my life. I've disappointed myself and others, said things I regret, fallen short of my expectations, and those of some people I care the most about. Which is why, when I slow down to think about it, maybe it's not such a bad analogy and image after all. In fact, it occurred to me this week that maybe my reluctance to embrace my sheepness based on my experience of these dumb, stubborn animals is because I was the hired hand. I wasn't a shepherd. I was there to do a job, to get them from one pasture to another, and did not really care all that much about their well-being. I mean, I wanted to be good to them. I wanted to do a good job. I wanted to see them safely from one part of the farm to the other. But day in and day out, I honestly couldn't care less. Shepherds, however, real shepherds, have a very different relationship with their flock. In fact, what Jesus says about the sheep following the voice of the good shepherd is true. Sheep can recognize, know, distinguish the voice of their shepherd, the one who tends them, protects them, and leads them to green pastures. In fact, this is one of the many highlights of a tour when people go to the Holy Land. Seeing shepherds out in front of their flocks, leading them forward to pasture with just their voices. A few years ago, a friend of mine told me about just such an experience. Sort of. She was in the Holy Lands with a group from her church, and they were out in the Galilean countryside when she spied a herd of sheep all moving rapidly in the same direction. She tried and tried to pick out, to identify the shepherd up front leading them, but couldn't. When all of a sudden she spotted a man at the rear of the flock, waving his arms and bellowing at the sheep, who kept trotting almost frantically forward at his command. My friend was so disappointed. This was the opposite of what she'd heard and expected. So she asked the guide what was going on. Why was the shepherd at the back? Oh, the guide replied, that's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. There are things in this life that drive us that are not life-giving. Maybe it's a pervasive sense of lack, a desire to get ahead, to do whatever it takes to get more. Maybe it's an overwhelming sense of anxiety or an ongoing struggle with addiction. Maybe it's fear about an uncertain future or shame over some past mistake or a nagging sense that you'll never be quite good enough or a deep disappointment with yourself that's been there for so long you can't even remember when it began. Whatever it is, remember this. These unhealthy drivers, these negative, destructive voices, these things that pursue us during the day and haunt us at night, these things are not of God. They do not represent the abundant life that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, offers us. Now, there are times, of course, when life is sweet and all is going well, like maybe when your team just won the state hockey tourney. That abundant life feels so close, something you can just grab on, and those are times to give thanks. But there are other times, there will be other times, when the negative voices of shame and regret and self-doubt are so persistent, so loud, they threaten to overwhelm everything else, even the voice of the Good Shepherd. When that happens, come here. That's why we gather. Because the promises of God, that God loves you and adores you, forgives you and accepts you, that promise can be hard to believe for more than about 7 days in a row. So come on Sundays to hear and recognize the voice of your shepherd. Read the daily devotions we're sending out. Do a double dip on Wednesdays and watch the Gospel Unplugged or the Images of Jesus video and more. And if that's not doing the trick, call one of your pastors. Call me.
so that I can remind you that you are so valued and loved and precious to God, that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God and Messiah, the very second member of the Trinity, whether we understand what that means or not, that Jesus the Christ is also your good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for the sheep, for you. That's what it means to be a part of this church. It doesn't mean being perfect or getting it right all the time or being holier than the rest of the world. Rather, it means that when you forget God's promises, and you will, it's my job, really my privilege, to remind you of them. And when I forget God's promises, and I do, I can count on you to remind me. We do this because we are joined together in a shared recognition that despite our best efforts, sometimes we act like sheep. Sheep that are stubborn and do dumb things, sheep that get scattered and lost, but also sheep that belong to the good shepherd, the one who will not leave us behind, the one who will seek us out and call us by name and bring us in time to good pasture. Thanks be to God. Amen.